and welcome to the Handbag Designer 101 podcast with your host, Emily Blumenthal, handbag designer expert and handbag fairy godmother, where we cover everything about handbags from making, marketing, designing, and talking to handbag designers and industry experts about what it takes to make a successful handbag. Welcome, Sarah Colonna, to Handbag Designer 101, the podcast. I think from celebrity standards, you have hit that tipping point. We have officially made it for 2024. I'm starting it on a high note. This is the clutch to, well, we'll get into that. But welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
So you, by trade, are not a handbag designer. You know, I could say what you've done, but you know, as long as you've accomplished it all, you might as well share everything you've done because it is vast.
Well, thank you. Feels weird to plug yourself, but that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Plug.
I know. I started as an actress and a stand-up comedian and took a long time to start making money. I was obviously bartending during a lot of that time.
Are you a good bartender?
I was a really good bartender, I have to say. Like, really good. Fast. Probably a little bit bitchy. A little give me your order. I'm trying to make money here.
Memorize the track of drinks, because when I cocktail waitress, that's how I crashed my parents' car, was memorizing the drink mix. And I was a high performing student, but a terrible waitress, that I had all of the drinks in order written on my arm. And I crashed my parents' car as I was studying when going in reverse.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, because at the fast place places, you had to know the orders that the drinks were made by the level of alcohol.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. I sort of cheated my way into it. I sort of pretended that I knew what I was doing. And then I just watched other bartenders. And then I would study what was in drinks on the side. And nobody was any the wiser. And then if I ever got something wrong, I would be like, oh, sorry, I misheard you. And then I'd go,
Or you're too drunk to understand that you were wrong at me.
Exactly.
It was you.
You misordered. So yeah. And then I started getting paid to do stand up and act. And then I got on Chelsea Lately, which was definitely my big break, the talk show that was on. I know you're familiar, but maybe not everyone is. But that was on E! And I was a comedian on that show. And then they ended up hiring me as a full time writer. And that really, as it did for a lot of comedians, catapulted a lot of people's career because it was a lot of exposure.
Was that one of those moments, just to like go back to that, because living in New York City, because I've been on a couple shows, I was on How Do I Look? And the funny thing, it's a whole other story, it's a whole other episode, but the costume stylist that they had for the intervention was a actress / stylist. And if she was in New York, it'd be the other way around by default. But yeah. The wild thing is, in LA, she didn't eat the entire week. And I'm like, what? And then I realized, like, people do coke in the morning there, but that's like a whole other conversation. It's like, oh, that's why you're not hungry. Who knew? So yeah, that was my venture, that everybody in LA is trying to do something. And that must be stressful in itself, just to live there every day, knowing that like everybody is doing the same thing.
It is. I mean, it's split up in some ways. Like, obviously, some people are trying to be on the director side or the writing side, but it does feel overwhelming. I mean, I moved here from Arkansas right out of college, and I thought, or I didn't realize that.
For Walmart?
I mean, you know what? It might have been an easier route to making the money and not having to bartend in the meantime.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I basically was, once I started working at bars and restaurants and realizing everyone was trying to do it, I thought, oh God, what am I doing? Thinking I can stand out in the crowd. But I always wanted to do it. And thankfully I never gave up. And thankfully I had family who supported me not giving up. So I stuck it out. And then, yeah, finally getting the job that I had, a bunch of little jobs and some good jobs, but I still had to bartend because people would even recognized me from a guest star on something and they'd say, why are you bartending? And I'm like, because I got paid one time for that one job. Yeah. And it didn't last very long. So it wasn't until I got on Chelsea and had a full-time writing job that I was finally
able salary to. And benefits, you could breathe.
Yes. And you can actually breathe. And it was great. So, and from there, and when that show ended, everything kept going and I wrote a couple of books. So I'm a New York Times bestselling author too. Something I never thought I'd get to say, but I get to say it forever. My book agent, I remember when hit the bestsellers list, he called me and he said, this is a credit they can never take away from you. They can never say, Like, maybe if you don't do stand up anymore, maybe they would call you a former comedian. Maybe they would say former actress. They can never say you were always a New York Times bestselling author. And I was like, great. I'm always going to say that credit. I'm never going to.
You should say that first, no matter what.
I know, right? It's a pretty big deal. So, yeah.
New York Times bestselling author, comma, and a stand up and a handbag designer.
And a handbag designer, which I definitely never expected or saw coming, but am very, very proud of that accomplishment too.
So you were working through, you obviously, you know, the narrative of how people become designers is obviously not a straight path. It's not never ever linear, right? It's usually typically out of a solution or a need or being in an environment where you realize like, hey, I see a hole in the market. And it's so fascinating that the most of responsible people, when they get this idea, everything kind of falls to the curb. It's like, oh, this doesn't make sense at all. I have no experience, no background. I'm doing this. I'm obsessed. You can't tell me I'm wrong. I'm going to spend all this money, jump in, lose everything on a learning curve. But guess what? I'm still going. I'm obsessed. So, I mean, mildly familiar with how all this came to be, but you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I, and it definitely, we came from exactly what you said, seeing a hole and a need for something. But so my husband is a former NFL player. When we met, he was playing. He was a punter for the Seahawks. He played for Green Bay before that. He had a very long NFL career. And I've always been a big sports fan. I've always gone to sporting events. But I hadn't really until, I don't think I'd been going to professional football games for quite a while.
Do you enjoy them?
Oh, God, I love it. It's so much fun. My dad was a sports editor, so I grew up going to baseball games, and baseball was always my first love. And they don't have a really, until recently, most of them didn't have a bag policy. It was kind of a whatever because baseball, like, so family oriented, and it's really hard to restrict it, I think. But anyway, so it wasn't ever really much thinking about a bag policy. And so when I met my husband 10 years ago, and I started going regularly to Seahawks games, and their bag policy is the all clear policy, which is very challenging because people think that means your bag has to be clear, but it doesn't have to be. Very clearly states that you can bring in a clutch that is 4x5x6x5, very specific. And I was just bringing a clear bag at first because I wasn't even trying to think about how to come up with.
Oh, it's like, was that a weird transition that you'd always brought? You know, you dressed your look for, I mean, as a woman, we dress typically stems up or bag, reverse engineer by the bag. So if you're wearing, you know, and to get into the intricacies of how a bag is made and the retail anthropological designing of it, you know, you're going to a football game, you know, no matter what, you need a bag that you can wear it either crossbody or is big over the shoulder and has a lot of a high drop to accommodate or has the capacity to fit everything that they need in those very minor dimensions. So,
right. Well, so so I was going in with like their little clear bags that they sold in the NFL store or whatever. And the first day that I really was like, what am I doing? I was on my period. And
as you
right?
do.
And I was like this. I mean, not that obviously it's not something to be ashamed of, but nobody necessarily wants to run around with their tampons on display. And then
now they would, but maybe not then.
Well, yeah, but or your medication or your credit cards or how much cash you're carrying or all this stuff. It's all just like right there in these clear bags. And to find something that was not clear to fit those dimensions is really almost impossible. And they're very strict about it. I mean, you put it down on a little sizer, and if it is just even like an inch over, you got to go to a locker. I kept seeing people get turned away, people that didn't understand the policy, know the policy. And I have a really good friend who has been in the fashion industry a long time, my friend Erica, and she's really good friends with a handbag designer, Maria Zarian, and her company is M. Andania. She makes beautiful handbags. And she lives in Burbank, California. I live in Sherman Oaks, not far from each other. So I reached out to my friend Erica and I said, can you put me in touch with Maria? I want to talk to her about this idea that I have. Because I said to my husband, why am I not making bags that fit these dimensions?
Did you go shopping for one? Like specifically?
I have. Yeah, many times. And mostly I would find something, but it wouldn't be like the right depth. It would just barely fit anything or like a little, you know, something. And then, but also I would just grab something that's kind of a throwaway. And then I'm thinking, but I'm going to games all the time. Why don't I have one bag that I can always bring and that's nice, that's going to last? So I met with Maria and she said, yeah, we can do this. And so obviously I give you the designing part. She was very very much a big part of, because I don't know how to do that, right? So she, I sat with her and talked her through it, and we went back and forth for, you know, a few months, obviously, on the design and what it would look like and all the different things you could do. And she did the drawing part and helped me develop it. And I finally got to where I was satisfied with it. It's deep enough, because they don't really have a rule on the depth.
Right?
Yeah. Some hockey games do now. They say 1 inch. So I started making wristlets too. And it's just, they really make it complicated for women to have a nice time. But NFL and concerts, college stadiums, they all have this same rule that it's got to be 4x5x6x5. And they don't say about the depth. So it doesn't get, you know, in with those dimensions, it's not like you can make it super wide. It would look weird, but it's deep enough. And it does. It fits your phone. There's a little pocket, definitely, so you can put your, you know, your credit card and your license or your cash or whatever separate. Not that anyone carries cash anymore, but I was like, it needs to have enough room for my phone, you know, some lipstick during the game, whatever, little thing, tampons. Maybe if you have to carry medication. I have a few customers that are like, always have to carry insulin medication, and it was important to them that they get to actually just not have to showcase that. So they love this too. So there's a lot of reasons for it, but also just stylish was important to me, right? I wanted it to be stylish. And then the big factor being that a lot of football stadiums, especially me, I was going in Seattle or outside. If I'm going to spend money on it, I don't want it to be ruined. So water resistant, stain resistant bags that can last. And that all became very important. And then I said, I would love to be able to wear it. So it's crossbody. Obviously, you can also do it on your shoulder. I said, we got to make these straps really long so they can accommodate anybody, tall, short, big, wide, whatever we got going on. We need to make sure people can wear them. And that was one of my girlfriends is very tall. And she said a crossbody just like almost never works for her because people never make the straps long enough. So we have that, they're adjustable. And then I wanted to be able to wear it at the waist. So we came up with, on the back, there's a sleeve.
A convertible element.
Yeah. So you can take off the strap and you can pull it through the sleeve on the back, and then you can just wear it around your waist. Hands-free at a football game is definitely key. Obviously, you'd be hands-free with crossbody, but there's just this freedom when you can just put it around your waist and run around and not think about your bag anymore. So go ahead.
Just to ask you a little bit about the process, because you know, I've worked with so many, I've dealt with so many. I myself have gone through being an quote unquote independent designer. I have this aversion to saying emerging because I don't like that, because then that means you never have a chance to emerge per se.
Right.
How, like when you found Maria, being that she is an established designer, did you set terms with her saying, I'm going to pay you as a contracted designer? Or did you go and saying, do you want a partner? Was it awkward? Or how did you present it with her to her?
You know, that's a really great question. And we basically worked out a contracted designer. I would say she didn't, and I use, she has her own factory, and that became a really big part of it too. So I still work with her. I have everything made at her factory in Burbank.
And now?
In California. Yeah. So that was important to me. I like to keep them made in the USA. I think it's just a nice way to be able to say I'm also getting, you know, making something here and keeping people employed as best I can or around this situation. And also, I think for football fans, they would love to hear that. And also for me, because I was just starting with all this, it was a way to be able to, I could visit the factory. Yeah, I could see, I could get hands on. I wasn't getting something shipped to me, you know, from overseas that then I could be really hands-on. I could walk into her factory, and which was really cool. I mean, the day they started production on them, I went there and just like watched them start making these bags. And I was like, this is really cool. I can't believe we did this, you know? So she basically, I paid her to help design, and then I keep the business with them. And
so
So
in terms of, I mean, like anything, everything comes down to connections and relationships, right? So without her, the barriers to entry would have been massive, right? And LA has, you're very fortunate because LA is one of the cities that happens to have affordable production. And, you know, to manufacture in LA is actually cheaper than manufacturing in New York, which a lot of people don't know, but that's true because there's still a lot of local manufacturers that exist. Claire V still does it. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of designers that do that. But, you know, to come up with this idea, I'm sure you had an idea like, okay, if these customers are going to these games, it's a certain kind of demographic. Did you do like actual competitive analysis research or demographic research, or like, okay, she, he, they, whomever the customer is typically within this age range, this age range, or they're earning this amount, or were you like, this is who they are, I have a gut, this is how much I think they'd be willing to pay?
So no, I did no research on that. I did basically from my experience, right? So I know that there's season seat holders that go to every game that would definitely invest in a bag that they're going to keep. And I say invest as if it's like a huge, you know, they're a higher price point because they're made here and because the material is nice. But as long, if you're, to me, I know a lot of people are repeat game customers, right? So that's really my target market. For the most part, if you're going to one game, you're probably going to buy the clear bag and just, you know, if you're never going to go again, and that's fine. But for people that attend them, also, they double as your concert bag. Like this summer, I mean, God bless Taylor Swift. I sold so many bags because people were going to a Taylor Swift concert and she's in stadiums that have that rule and they didn't want to muck up their outfit with a clear bag. And I'm not, you know, so there's some companies that make really fun ones. And so I'm not trying to, you know.
It is what it is. You can say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be an early adopter in something is no small feat. So right. I think that in itself is pretty admirable.
Yeah. But I mean, people make some cute clear bags, right? Like as best they can. But definitely a lot of people are, you know, like a Taylor Swift Beyonce too. They had stadium tours this summer and people would want, you know, a nice bag to go with their outfit that they spent all these money for their tickets on, right? So I definitely found that market. And that's been over the past, I'd say, 3 or 4 years that I've noticed more.
Post-pandemic.
Yeah, people going to, you know, these concerts are back and people are needing something for that. So to that point, I started off with, and maybe I should have done the research on this, to be honest. I started off with a lot of two-tone bags, right? So I basically, we started with, obviously, because I was in Seattle, we started with the Seahawks colors, like blue bag with green sides. They're so cute. I'm obsessed with these bags. There's also like a navy and red one, because what we did was target the bigger market teams, but also ones that could be used for other teams. So like there's a light blue and red that could be the Giants, that could be the Bills, and that could be the Cubs, that could be.
Right.
So finding things that would be, the only ones very specific probably that couldn't, well, that's not true, because I have a green and yellow that's Packers, because they're such, they just deck out there, you know, you just kind of look at these teams that like deck out for the games. But also it's like the Oregon Ducks are those colors, and there's some college teams that the other college teams those colors. So I really went with trying to find people that would, and the blue and green were very easy for me to sell, because I was able to do a lot of press in Seattle and talk about them. So once you're able to explain, you can bring this bag into the stadium and it's stain water resistant and you're going to be able to use it forever and it's going to fit all your needs, then okay, people, it's easy for people to purchase. It's really the messaging, I think, that has been the hardest part for me. Anyway, but I'm off track. But so I made all these two-tone ones and they sell and they're very popular and they're really adorable bags. But I did find that people really gravitate towards the
traditional colors.
Yeah, they just want either a black or a solid blue. I make a solid red that's just, I love. And, but they really want that, because if you're going to spend the $105 on it, you want it.
Are you doing a cream?
No, I haven't done a cream yet, but I know it's been suggested. Should. Yeah.
It's almost a seasonless color, by the way. FYI.
I just did a denim, and that was the first time I did something that wasn't from the vegan, you know, stain and water resistant material. Obviously, denim is denim. So
did you make it coated?
It's not coated, no, but it's really sturdy, really. And it's just like a spot clean denim. They're so cute. And those actually were very popular for concerts. And I think they'll be very popular when festival season comes, right? They're going to be.
Did you look into this? I'm sorry, I have a billion questions. I hope this is okay, because I.
No, it is. But I just know that I probably didn't. Whatever you're about to ask, I probably didn't.
I mean, you know, being this one of one and realizing like, okay, you know, and you know, just to go back to what you were saying, like I went to Michigan and those colors are maize and blue, but people say go blue. And whenever I hear go big blue, they're talking about the Giants. I'm like, are you? Oh, I didn't, you know, so I get it. So that's just as a side note. But in terms of, I mean, you've obviously had to learn on the ground. I read that you started this in 2017. So
yeah.
You've been doing this right?
Yeah.
Long, long time. Starting out and figuring this out and recognizing like, okay, the straps need to be adjustable. How adjustable? Is it too much? Do I sell the straps separately? Were there any things like from the learning curve that you wish you would have known, like that now you're like, oh, it's so obvious?
If you ever wanted to start a handbag brand and you didn't know where to start, this is for you. If you had dreams of becoming a handbag designer but aren't trained in design, this is for you. If you have a handbag brand and need strategy and direction, this is for you. I'm Emily Blumenthal, handbag designer expert and handbag fairy godmother, and this is the Handbag Designer 101 Masterclass. Over the next 10 classes, I will break down everything you need to know to make, manufacture, and market a handbag brand, broken down to ensure that you will not only skip steps in the handbag building process, but also to save money to avoid the learning curve of costly mistakes. For the past 20 years, I've been teaching at the top fashion universities in New York City, wrote the Handbag Designer Bible, founded the Handbag Awards, and created the only Handbag Designer podcast. I'm going to show you, like I have countless brands, to create in this in-depth course from sketch to sample to sale, whether you're just starting out and don't even know where to start or begin, or if you've had a brand and need some strategic direction, the Handbag Designer 101 Masterclass is just for you. So let's get started, and you'll be the creator of the next it bag. Join me, Emily Blumenthal, in the Handbag Designer 101 Masterclass. So be sure to sign up at emilyblumenthal.com/masterclass and type in the code podcast to get 10% off your masterclass today.
I would definitely say probably I would have started with more just solids instead of the two-tone ones, just because
trying to please everybody kind of
thing. Yeah. And then also when you have only a certain amount of two-tones, right? I had like the dark blue and red, because that could be the Patriots, that could be the Texans, and then the Falcons. It bleeds into a lot of other sports as well. But what I did by starting with a few two-tone ones was then people would say, well, why don't you have a brown and orange one for the brown? And I would say, well, because that one that's only going to be for the browns. And if five people buy that, then what
would
that
please everybody? And that's a rule.
Yeah. And so, and I try to make that clear on the site, like I started with ones that could be multi-use for different teams, and I'm always open to suggestions. But then as I've gone on, specifically since I'd say probably 2020 on, after 2020, it's really been a bigger market for people wanting just the solid black, the solid blue. That's why I made a red, because I know red is, a great color. And also people love it for concerts. And then also you've got a million teams that use red as one of their main colors. So it can also complement your gear. But my main response to people that ask for like, oh, I want a Vikings bag, I go, well, you get a black one with gold and it's going to complement your gear perfectly. You don't need it. Yeah. Doesn't need black and purple. And then it doubles as your night out bag. So I use it all the time just to go out, because I don't love to carry like a big bag to a bar or something. So it's become so multifunctional that I think I wish I would have known in the beginning to focus more on that. And then what I'd like to do is find a way to, I don't even know if I should say this, because I don't know if I should put it out there, because I don't even know if it's possible. But I would love to find a way to be able to be like, okay, I can make a specific one for a specific
team. Have you thought about reaching out to the teams for licensing? Because that's essentially what you're saying.
Well, no. I meant making them specific colors for customer if they reached out.
That is,
yeah.
That is a hot mess.
I meant in bulk order. It would have to be in bulk order. That would be the only way. But also to that point, our material, because it has to be this material,
It's produced in LA, you also have that extra requirement that they have to make sure that the material doesn't emit gases. Because I know I forgot the rule or whatever, it's the law, but California has one specific that you have to have a disclaimer at the bottom stating that it's EPA gas free or blah, blah, blah. I know I'm talking out of turn, but I know the manufacturers there technically need to follow that in some form.
Well, that and just the material being like that it has to be this vegan leather that's stain and water resistant, all that, like it doesn't come in every color. You know, like finding matching colors was like finding a blue and silver one that I thought would go with the Cowboys was a little tricky to find the right blue and stuff like that. So it's like, and then you look and teams have they have different jerseys for different games, and sometimes they're a darker blue than a
reverse. And then they reverse the colors. And,
yeah.
And you're like, what am I doing? I can't please everybody.
Yeah. So if somebody was to say, I want this specific one, but obviously in a bulk order, I can't make one per cut. It wouldn't make any sense. And also they're expensive to manufacture, as you noted, since they make them here. So that would be great if I found a way to do that. But as far as licensing, no, I haven't even considered it yet because that goes through the NFL. It's not one team. Like you can't, one team can't all of a sudden, it has to go through the entire NFL. And what they would take from that and what it would cost, I think would just sort of not make a ton of sense for me right now. Now, if I had, you know, like a Erin Andrews size company or something that she's doing with Wear by EA, which I've, by the way, been certainly trying to meet with her on this idea, because I think that finding someone that already has an established bigger apparel brand and partnering with them would be a great way to take this to the next level. Because
having been through that experience, that is so tricky to do that. I mean, in my opinion, and again, I don't like giving out advice. I always saying
please
like,
do.
Well, having lawyers in the family is enough that whenever even somebody in the family gives you advice, the first thing they'll say is, I'm just telling you, this is my opinion. You can do with what you want with it kind of thing. So, you know, I've had so many people come back to me saying, you told me this. I'm like, hey, you just listen. This is just my professional opinion. I can't say anything. But working with apparel designers who have their own mission and DNA and customer, it's doing collabs or one-off in and outs, as they call them, is always the best way to go about it because it has a beginning and an ending, and you could take advantage of their distribution and their audience, and then they can take advantage of the product that you've created. And in my opinion, collabs are always the best, and it's also a great testing ground to see for, you know, proof of concept. If it works, if it doesn't work, you know, you move on.
Yes.
Moves on.
Yeah. I would think it would definitely have to be a collab to start with her. If I, you know, this is all just putting it out there as a dream. Anybody. Yeah. Because they would have to have a specific right to sell them in stores and not without me going through the whole licensing process of my whole company. Do you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
You cannot put anything in a NFL store that isn't licensed by them. So some people, like I know that Touch by Alyssa Milano, I know that she has something where she can actually collab and use the and sort of use that process without
going through.
Yeah, but it would be a short stint, like you said. So something like that would be great. It would get it off the, it would sort of take it to the next level. And also, like I said, get through that little hurdle that I don't encounter it nearly as much anymore. But obviously the title of All Clear is what I bat. So it's a lot of battling the messaging, I think, is the biggest part. Like I see all the time people go, no, it's got to be a clear bag. And then I'm like, no, it doesn't. And then I send them a copy of the policy. I circle
honestly,
it.
The education, like my launch into handbags was similar, but obviously nowhere near what you've accomplished. But I came up with a little handbag to go hold on to when you go out. I had a DJ boyfriend and I said, oh my God. And this was the time of flip phones, you know, when like the biggest phone was this big. So,
yeah,
you know, it would go over your wrist. It would go over your finger. And I, you know, bootstrapped and got it into Bergdorf's and Bendel's and patented them, which I want to talk to you about, and then knocked myself off and came up with a lower end line and then went to QVC and so forth. But I realized from doing trunk show after trunk show and even going to concerts that if I wasn't there to explain the utility of what this bag was good for, or buying a bag of a name that nobody knew, that if I wasn't there, it wouldn't sell unless somebody literally Googled, which wasn't what it was now.
Yeah.
You know, part of like a bag for concert, bag for stadium. And I'm sure yours probably pops up at the top.
It does. It does now for sure, which has been great. That's really helpful because I definitely have customers.
That's an SEO winner. Like, hey, I just stumbled upon your bag.
Yeah, it's really nice to finally be, you know, it definitely took a few years to be beyond just my own social media reach and my own, you know, and I understand
audience.
And that's another thing that was really wonderful to be able to work with Maria on was to manage expectations for her to say to me, your sales are good, trust me, for your first year, for your second year, for your, you know,
right.
To hear that was nice because I don't know, I don't have that concept, right? I'm sort of stumbling into, I'm not on the business end of it. And I mean,
You are now.
I am now for sure. Yeah. But I mean, I didn't know the business end of it. I didn't know what was good, what wasn't good, which would, you know, so, and nobody can really, you know, deem anything good or bad, obviously, but it was just nice to have the feedback of like, no, this is a good start. This is a good process. Like, you're not just spinning your wheels type thing. And that felt really good.
How did you come up with the name? And you also have a patent. And, you know, I have Handbag Designer 101, which is my brand, my property, in a few categories. When you do the trademark, you know, a lot of people who haven't done their own trademarks before, they'll get rejected for generic names like Handbag Designer 101. You always have to put this disclaimer saying you don't own the rights to handbag, you don't own the rights to designer, you don't own the rights to 101. You only own the rights exclusively of those names together. So
yeah,
having a name like what your brand is, and then also having a patent, like, how did you go about, like, is it the Sarah Colonna bag? Is it the concert bag? Like, did you do this research to try and think, like, what would make the most sense?
Well, it was definitely basically the stadium bag. It was definitely because it was so specific to the sizes. And I think that the design patent, which I know is very hard to get, and I was very, for a handbag, you know.
A design patent, not a utility patent. It's a design patent.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's, so they have, it was because of the sleeve on the back, it was because of the sizes and all of that. So, and I mean, it took a while, but I was granted it, which I was just like shocked.
New York Times bestseller and patent owner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that.
So patented and it was, yeah. And so it was a best-selling patent. So it was, that was a process because I, as you said, you know, it's not an easy thing to get. A lot of times they reject it because they just say, well, this is what my trademark attorney was like, look, a patent on a handbag is like, can be tricky because people say, yeah, well, there's already a bunch. Yeah. So that was a good accomplishment because that way I can, you know, there's going to be probably copycats and whatnot and people that go, oh, I can make a non-clear bag that blah, 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 fits the thing. And at least I have a little bit of heels dug in on that end. Right. And then, yeah. And then the trademark on the name. So Clutch Women I came up with because the term clutch is so obviously used in sports and because.
Right. Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a play on that. And also being a clutch woman, being a good friend, being loyal, being all these things, which is, I just wanted to incorporate the female empowerment aspect of it too. And so the lining is my signature with, not my signature, but with, I write things like you're loyal, you know, you're determined, what's in this, and you're clutch. And so it's like the inside is just these little inspirational messages when you open it up, which I just thought was like a cool thing to add to it and to sort of add to the female owned business side of it and, you know, appeal to women who want to have a little bit of a, you know, I'm clutch walking into this game and I'm stylish and I'm clutch. So that was the title really came between the word for, you know, being used so often in sports and also just being used in female empowerment.
No. Can I ask you, when you started out, just from the packing, shipping, labeling, returns, were you involved with all of that yourself, or you were able, because of your relationship, were able to streamline it right off the bat?
Well, so I was, yes, we would do it from the factory and they showed me the packaging. We worked on that. And then I had a good friend whose boyfriend does great designs. So he helped me with my logo and with the, like, the hang tags. And we have these little insert cards that go in each package that tells you exactly that the bag fits the measurements and blah, blah, blah.
Right, right, right.
So yeah, all those little details and how they're packaged and whatnot, I got to be definitely a big part of.
That's, I mean, it all comes through relationships. And, you know, thing, and I bet it's pretty similar in LA, because LA is, look, it's not for the faint of heart. It's definitely not the easiest place to live, especially considering environmentally, people all kind of, theoretically, all the people have these same end goals. But when you're crossing over, even into handbags, it's, you know, as you know, it's a crowded market. To try and stand out, it's really tricky. So
yeah,
it's like, be nice to everyone. You never know who you'll know. I mean, I tell my students, today's classmates are tomorrow's colleagues. So without those relationships, you wouldn't have been able to pull off what you were able to pull off. And
100%.
That itself is just amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely having someone that has a tried and true business and her own factory and knows everything and very generous, like, become really good friends. And she was very generous with input and with, you know, telling me things that I probably hadn't thought of, like, you need a hand tag, you need a this, you need a that. And then when I came up with the idea, I was like, okay. And then So all of that stuff was definitely relationship, and I couldn't have done it without it. That's for sure.
Do you have any hopes or interest in going beyond D2C? Like, do you want to go on to a QVC? Do you want that kind of, because like, you know, you were saying that your customer is someone who goes to games and so forth, you know, goes to concerts, and that's a certain person, somebody who has box seats and all that. You know, we talk a lot about price point, and a lot of designers, because they lack scale, they overprice their bags, and then they then price themselves out because they're just trying to make money. So, you know, these are all different kinds of customers, and having this bag for this specific audience, do you think there's more opportunity for you to grow beyond D2C?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Do you want to?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I do. Yeah. You know, I would love to be working beyond, I don't want to say beyond my, the size of, it's a small factory, and I like to obviously keep it there in many ways, but I'd love for it to be able to be like, okay, how do we keep it here? Right. You know, it's so to be, but yeah, I definitely want to grow beyond that. It's more figuring out how, I mean, it's just figuring out how. It's been good. It's been consistent.
Do you have your customers that come back and buy more and more, like your repeat
business? I do actually have a lot of repeat business, which is, I didn't expect that, but I do. I have a lot of repeat business. Every time I have a new one come out, they buy that. A lot of people gift them. And I have a lot of male customers, a lot of male customers.
A lot of people don't tend to think about that either.
Yeah. And when I realized that, it helped me figure out certain ways to market and to reach out, you know, even like the social media ad space, things like that, because there's a lot of men who want to buy them for their person that's coming to the game with them. Like, it's, yeah, it's a great gift for a sports loving woman, a concert going woman, these things. So that has been, especially around the holidays, it's like every order that I get is, you know, Robert so-and-so, Jeff so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, look at these men buying these bags. So that has been, you know, something that I didn't even think about in the first place. I just was like, oh, well, my customers will be women. No, it's men buying them for their girlfriends, their wives, their partners, their friends, all that stuff, a lot.
And you don't sell them yet at any stadiums or theaters or anything like that. You don't have any consignment concession. Have you thought about doing that on stuff?
No, you can't do that. No, you're not
possible.
No. That, and not unless they're licensed. Yeah, you can't sell anything in a stadium that isn't licensed by.
So maybe there's something in the future for that.
No, there definitely is. I did meet with a team in the Canadian Football League about developing one for them, because they own their own, basically, I don't know how to say it, but you don't have to get licensed through the CFL for them. Like, you could just go. So I met with them. We worked on it.
Bets are off for Canada. You could do anything there.
Yeah. And they have the same rule now. So I actually have a lot of Canadian customers, but I definitely am not ruling out getting licensed. I would just need to do it. It would have to be, you know, I know that discussion is going to involve like, okay, we're going to have to do it in a bigger space. We're going to have to mass produce them, and they're going to want to do different material. And that is the hard part to figure out, because I know that that's going to, I know I can't be too precious about it, but there's a certain point where it's going to have to, they're not going to want to make them at the, you know, I guess we'll just be very, I don't make a ton off of each bag, but obviously they're priced to make a profit, because what's the point? It's like you said, but they're expensive to make per bag. And so I know that in that space, I would be told like, this isn't, we can't maintain it this way. And it would have to come up with how we're going to continue to do it. And hopefully, you know, I would want to press to keep making them in the United States, and preferably somewhere where I can visit and be hands-on, and not just let it all of a sudden become this like cheapened version of what I started. So I think there's got to be a middle ground. And I know that's what would, and I'm talking, I'm talking about something I haven't even had a meeting on yet, but
You're putting it out there. It's the 2020 year. That's all it takes.
And I think I will. I've definitely been getting some attention of different, from all, my social media will have, the Anaheim Ducks had reached out to me about advertising with them, and it didn't make financial sense for me with them, but they were actually, and I don't know why, maybe their licensing is different too, but they were going to allow me to sell them in the stadium, but it just didn't, that one didn't make a ton of sense financially. But there's definitely people that have reached out over the years, like I said, meeting with that CFL team. So I know it's going to get to that and that I'll be able to have the right meeting and say, okay, let's do licensing. Let's make these nice bags. Let's sell them in your store. Let's put the crossbody over a jersey and show everybody how good it looks together. Right. But
Right.
But
that's amazing.
And figuring out how to do that and keep it quality is going to be tricky.
Yeah. Dude, this has been amazing. I am so grateful for you to have taken the time out of your busy LA schedule of standing up in the middle of the day morning for you, where clearly that's where all your shows happen. It's what, 10 a.m. Yeah. Yeah, that's how they do it over there. Breakfast.
You know how it is.
With chuckle, 100%. Sarah, how can people get their hands on Clutch Women? And if they're so inclined, get a big laugh to go with it.
Clutchwomen.com is where all my bags are. And also, if you go to sarahcolonna.com, there's a link there. It's Sarah with an H, C-O-L-O-N-N-A. There's a link there. And that also has all of my tour dates on it and all my social media and links to buy my books and all the things. So that's your one-stop shop.
Do you sell the bags on tour?
No, I don't. No, it doesn't. I sell my books on tour because it fits, sort of.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose what's coming with you.
Yeah. I feel like the audience coming to the stand-up shows may not necessarily be the same ones that's going to the games. I mean, some are both, obviously, but it makes more sense for books afterwards because I'm doing stand-up on stage instead of really doing that. Well, but who knows? I might be out there hawking them all.
Wear one eye. Hey, if you wear it on stage, it's a marketing expense. So there's that right there.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. A lot of women come to my shows with their Clutch Women because some clubs actually have the rule too. And it's I see people at games in the wild, like people I don't know. At first, it used to always be in Seattle because I was always going to games there. And I would know, oh, I know that person. Or, oh, it would be someone that saw me on.
Right.
Seattle TV. But when I went to see my husband play in Dallas, and this woman came just walking up to me and she's like, I have your bag. And I was like, oh my God.
It's almost as exciting as being a New York Times bestseller.
It was honestly pretty effing cool. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. So starting to see people out there with them was really cool. And then
wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Just knowing that it's spread out like that has been awesome.
Sarah, I can't thank you enough. I encourage everybody to go see you. You're the funniest. You have your own podcast too.
Yes, it's called Are You My Podcast. Right now we cover this show called Married at First Sight, which is very fun. So if any of you guys are Married at First Sight fans, come listen to us. But we also do other fun stuff. So check it out regardless.
There is so much content coming from Sarah Colonna in a clutch bag. Love it. Thank you so much. And absolutely going to get my hands on one. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate and review and follow us on every single platform at Handbag Designer. Thanks so much. See you next time.